Camp pastors here. Where's Adam? Adam is over there. Adam's our other camp pastor this year. It's been fun to get to know him over the past few weeks. And yeah, we're looking forward to, I know I'm looking forward to, just getting to spend this time with you guys this morning and this week, and also with all the camp families that we have coming. This is my second year at Family Retreat, and I loved it so much I decided to come back. So I warn you, if this is your first time, you might end up in the same boat. That's a very real risk that you have taken by being here. Yeah, everybody applaud for that. That's great. I love our theme this year as well. This reminds me a lot of home. Where I live is about 30 minutes north of Philadelphia. It's basically right on the edge of farm country. But my congregation always gives me a hard time because I did not grow up there. I grew up in a much more kind of suburban, you know, waspy sort of area. And so what I tell them all the time that they laugh at me about is I am like a terrible gardener. Every plant that anybody has ever given me, I have killed, not intentionally, but very efficiently. And so when I see all this, it's like, oh, great. I'm going to get made fun of all the time. I'll share more about that tonight when we get into the first family session together. But as a pastor, I really believe in this idea of fruit and harvest and gardening and raising up growth in people. That's what I'm all about. And so this, as I was preparing this morning for, you know, not only today, but this week, for the last couple months, just been meditating on John 15, where our theme verse comes from. John 15:8, which you guys should know it, but if you need to be reminded one more time, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And I was meditating on this whole passage, and there was a part that struck me later on in John 15. I just want to read this part of the passage to you, because you all know this is Jesus, right before he gets betrayed and sent to the cross, his last instructions to his disciples. And so this is what Jesus says in John 15, starting in verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. And there's a lot in there, and I'm not going to try and unpack that all. Thankfully, you guys will be thankful for that. I just want to point out this one verse, verse 16, where Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And here's the interesting thing I find about this verse. Jesus comes back to this illustration of fruit, of harvest, over and over again in this discourse he gives to his disciples. But this one seems just a little bit different. Because the words he used here, that you have been chosen, you have been appointed, you are to go, you have been sent out. This is all mission language, right? This is all commissioning. This is all Jesus saying, hey, I'm inviting you, what he says earlier in the passage. I've shared with you what my Father, what God is all about. You don't do that with servants. You do that with friends. I'm inviting you into something, and the fruit I'm expecting you to bear is not just going to be fruit inside of yourself. It's going to be fruit in other people. And this is a challenging thing for me, I'll be honest, because as a pastor, when I like to talk about bearing fruit, there's like one verse that I go to, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You guys know that verse? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Can you guys say it with me? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? You guys are good Christians. You know all that stuff. That's the fruit that I like to point to, right? Jesus wants to bear fruit in us. He wants to make me loving. He wants to make me kind. He wants to make me generous and self-controlled. And I like that, not because I'm particularly good at it. I'm not very often, but I can kind of control that, right? And I can kind of measure that. I can say, oh man, I want to be more loving. God, make me more loving today. And I can try and gauge, all right, was I loving in this situation or that situation or not? Or God, make me kind. I want to be kind to people today. And then when I blow it, I can say, God, I'm sorry I wasn't kind today. And there's grace for that. But here in John chapter 15, in verse 16, where Jesus talks about the disciples being chosen and appointed and sent out to bear fruit, this is fruit in other people. And I got to tell you, even as a pastor, this is kind of our job. That is a really challenging thing because I have so little control over that. I have so little control over what happens in another person's life. And it all comes down to trust. Years ago, I was serving, one of my first ministry positions was as a youth ministry intern. I was in college, and somebody thought it'd be a good idea to give me some responsibility. They regretted that later, I'm sure. But they gave me some responsibility, so I was helping out with the youth ministry at my church. And there was this guy, his name was John, who was like a freshman in high school. And John came from a really rough home. His parents were divorced. There was some substance abuse stuff going on there, a bad situation. They lived in really an impoverished part of town. And for whatever reason, John just like latched on to me as an intern. I guess I was the cool college kid. He didn't know any better. But he just latched on to me. And I'm like, I'm an intern. I'm very new at this. And I was praying, God, I don't know what to do with John. I want to see fruit in his life. I think that's supposed to be what this is about. I don't know what to do. And I just felt this sense of just be with him. And so once a month, John and I would go out to lunch together at like this diner, this local diner. And I would sit with him. He would talk. I would listen. We did that for a couple more years until he ended up leaving high school, went into a vo-tech thing, and I kind of lost track of him. And I look back at that like, God, what on earth was that? I didn't have any good advice for him. I didn't have any good, you know, things to say. I felt like it was just a couple of years of just kind of existing together. And then the biggest blessing happened a couple of years later. It does not always end this way. But a couple of years later, John showed back up in my life. And he was in a different place. He still had a lot of struggles, but he had a job. He had his own apartment. He was working as an electrician. And he just came to me and said, hey, Steve, just want you to know, I just really appreciate the time you spent with me. It kept me around when there was a lot of hard stuff going on. And to me, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. We don't always get to measure what happens in the lives of other people, right? We don't always get to actually see the results of what happens in the people that we minister to and we work with. A lot of times at Johnny and Friends, at least last year when I was here, there's amazing stories that come out of the people that we encounter, the families that we hear from, the feedback that we get, but sometimes we don't hear anything. And yet, what God is calling us to is simply to go and be faithful and to bear fruit and to trust that he knows what he's doing. Because the fascinating thing about this John 15 passage is there's actually only one, or this John 15, 12 to 17 passage, is there's actually only one command. It's the command that starts the passage and ends the passage. John 15, verse 12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And verse 17 says, this is my command, love each other. And I know this is like the ultimate Christian cliche, right? We are to love one another as Jesus loved us. We are to lay down our lives as Jesus laid down his life for us. But I think what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples here is that if you want to bear fruit, if you want to be faithful to what he's called you to, it all comes down to just how well you love, that love is never fruitless. And so this week, I know you guys, we're all going to be in different situations. Some of you may be sitting here anxious about who you're going to get, the family you're going to engage with. Some of you may be really excited about that. Some of you, this is your first time. You don't know what you've gotten yourself into. Some of you are way more experienced at this than I am. And you're going like, Pastor Steve, you don't even have a clue what's about to happen this week because this is only your second time. And that's probably true. But what all I can say to you from what Jesus said is, you will bear fruit if you love. Love is never fruitless. And while we don't always get to see the results of that, We don't always get to see what happens in somebody's life out of that. He says, not only is it is fruit that will last. Fruit that will have an eternal impact in the lives of the people that we get to love this week. So for the 3.5 days we get to be with these families, my prayer for me, for you all, for all of us, is that first, we would love each other well in this room over these next 4 days. But especially that God would just deepen the love that we have for the families we're going to encounter, for the kids, the adults, the people who are coming in just needing to experience God's love from him and through us. So let me pray this morning as we kind of close out this part of the time. Heavenly Father, we thank you that despite our inability to be good gardeners, you are the best gardener. You are the one who brings the growth always. And Lord, we just want to be people this week as we go through all of the details that we need to remember, all of the schedules, all the processes that we need to have in our minds. Lord, help us not to forget that the most important thing we're going to do this week is love. And Lord, deepen our love for all the families we interact with. When we are stressed out, when we are tired, when we are struggling, let your love fill us, overflow from us to these families. And Lord, through that love, you bear fruit in their lives. That whether we see it now or in eternity, we will be able to rejoice together, not in what we have done, but in what you have done as you have called us. We thank you, Father, and pray this in your name. Amen.